Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this April the 9th on the West Coast, April the 10th now on the East Coast, and in the central time zones of the United States of America. Well, what do we talk about today? Lots of interesting news which has come out in the past few days. I've alluded to some of it on past shows during this week. The financial corruption continues, and most people are focused on now the onset of the professional baseball season. And so we have back-to-back diversions. We just got finished with what they like to call March Madness, although I think we're in April Madness, and May Madness is just around the corner. June Madness will follow, probably July Insanity, and August Chaos. It just doesn't end. The amount of corruption does not end. You really have no idea how much corruption is at stake or is occurring right now, and what this is doing to this country. Of course, this has been going on since 1913, ramped up several notches in 1933, and it has not ceased. You have not been told the truth about anything, and I'm saying by the mainstream media, of course, because we do tell the truth on this show. Our guests do the same. And so you shouldn't expect to hear the truth from these people. We should be thinking about getting rid of them once and for all. That's what's before us. Whether it's the Congress, the Senate, up the line to the top. Get rid of all of them. The fraud is staggering. The deception is staggering. And yet people say, oh, well, you know, this is a conspiracy theory. I had the opportunity to talk to meet some new friends today, and someone I know brought up the issue of conspiracy theory, and I just laid out the law right there, then and there. And I don't mean the law on the books. I mean these talking points that they come out with to debunk what we talk about on the internet. And, you know, if we had free liberal access to the mainstream media, we would get this message out on mainstream. Of course, they don't want this message out there. Why should they fear it? If it's crazy, if it's insanity, why should they fear it? Well, they know that we're telling the truth, and they do not want you or the average American to hear this. And so they do everything in their power to stop it. And they begin by attacking those that deliver the message. This is not our own unique individual message that we're delivering. This comes from a much higher place. And actually, they're quite jealous of the fact that we can tune into the higher realms and they can't, merely because of their corruption. So, if you have any doubts about what's going on, I encourage you to do research, as I always do. I'm not asking anyone to believe anything. In fact, I had this conversation this afternoon with an individual I know, and the word belief came up in every other sentence. And I said, wait a minute, let's stop right here. You're using this word belief. I don't subscribe to it whatsoever. And I explained why. And I don't subscribe to these talking point terms that they use, like conspiracy theory. I remember when Bill Clinton was caught with his pants down in the Oval Office with Monica Lewinsky, and Hillary Clinton claimed to Well, she ran to Bill's defense, which is absurd when you look at both of their backgrounds. But in any event, she came out and told the media, well, this is nothing but a right-wing conspiracy. Wasn't that a conspiracy theory, to use their terminology? Wasn't that a right-wing conspiracy theory? You see, what they say doesn't even make any sense. A theory is one thing, a conspiracy is another. And I confronted the individual I talked to today about the meaning of the word conspiracy and what it really means and why the word even exists. It describes a group of people who are undermining, secretly undermining, another group of people. And it doesn't matter how large that group in the conspiracy is. Two can conspire, and they can conspire against millions or hundreds of millions or billions of people. It only takes two psychopaths to form a conspiracy. And so the word in and of itself has a meaning, and it doesn't require the word theory. So let's get off of that bandwagon using this terminology, because you call up the show and use that term, I'll make sure that we hang up on you, because it's not welcome here. You want that term, you want to use those types of terms, go to the mainstream media. Now, I may be sounding rather harsh, but it is my show, and I'm not going to perpetuate myths by the use of the spin language and the talking points that the media, the corrupt propaganda media, uses to brainwash everybody. If you're brainwashed, fine. You can turn the knob. That said, it's time to bring on tonight's guest, and I hope I haven't caused any of my loyal listeners to turn the knob. Tonight's guest has been on this show very frequently. He's a good friend of mine. He's a researcher. He has a fantastic website, educate-yourself.org. And he's not just a researcher and a webmaster, but also a metaphysician and my good friend, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Don. Thanks so much. Glad to be on with you again. I always look for the chat. And I have to concur with your opening remarks. It's amazing how the theme or a principal idea I was going to broach tonight, this is not the first time this has happened. You've introduced comments which are just precisely in the realm of the area that I was going to broach tonight. Now, this has happened before.
Well, I am psychic.
Well, you are, absolutely. And you are. And it's just amazing, Don. We, of course, all of these conversations are ad hoc. We don't usually plan it. And I think I'd rather prefer it this way, because we typically allow the events of the moment to influence what we talk about. And it's essentially a conversation, a chat that we might have privately, but we're broadcasting over this internet radio show. But it's just amazing. For the last few days, I've been thinking about something. I've been haven't attended to my website much the last couple of days. I've been trying to get other work done. There's a number of things I have to make, and
washing the clothes, you know, doing the laundry.
Yeah, well, you know, I make all kinds of toys, you know, for people to play with. So anyway, I've been spending most of my time the last couple of days on that. And however, while I do that, I typically like to listen to something. So I'm been go to the stations that I normally try to hear talk radio at, but I get a little fed up with the two FM stations that I usually listen to, one being NPR and the other KPFK, which is out of Los Angeles, which is one of the Pacifica stations. And I just get a little frustrated because NPR is Illuminati propaganda. It's the Tavistock cover story and propaganda promotion of whatever the Illuminati is trying to inculcate to America. So I listen to it because I want to know what's the storyline that they want to promote. It really does give me the insights as to what's coming up in the future because they always telegraph their intentions. Example, recently we had a number of shootings from the beginning of April up to today. There's been a number of these shootings. Individuals as fellow in Binghamton, New York. I think it was April 3, if I got the date right. Shot 13 people in a place where non-American people were. I think normally would take a test to become American citizens at that type. Place.
So they shot one for every Illuminati family, in other words.
Yeah, exactly. Right. There was 13. Now, that doesn't, you know, as we know, numbers and dates, locations are rather important to these individuals. And as in the case of every single case, whether it's in this country or whether it's in Sweden or Germany, when you hear about some individual, going nuts with a gun, just goes into some building, a nursery school, a high school, a grammar school, whatever, just where there's, you know, innocent people doing innocent things, and just start shooting people, you know, and almost always, with rare exception, the person who's doing all this killing usually kills himself, or so we're told, kills himself. That was the case of the Binghamton guy.
They never mentioned their program to kill themselves.
Exactly right. That's where I'm going on it. I put up something on my website. I guess it was the 4th or the 5th. It must have been perhaps 2 days after the Binghamton shooting. Just to remind readers at my site, at least, that all these cases of these school shootings. Nursery, you know, schools, location. If you recall, back in the 90s, I'm trying to remember the year, maybe 1997 or 98, somewhere in that, perhaps 97. There was a shooting at a schoolyard in, Port Arthur, no. Is that in New Zealand or Australia? I'm trying to remember. Maybe it's in New Zealand. And this fellow who went into, I forget, maybe 35 or 40 children were shot, perhaps the majority killed. This guy, I think, had a rifle and killed himself in the end, as they typically do.
That would be, if it's out of the country, there's a Port Arthur in Texas, but if it's out of the country.
No, it's definitely, it was either Australia or New Zealand.
That's in Tasmania. So obviously the Tasmanian devil was involved too.
Right. Okay, right. That's it. Okay. Now, as a result of that, David Icke pointed this out in his 1999 book, The Biggest Secret. He wanted to some detail about this. What he did is he probably acquired the information from others who looked into the background of this fellow, but the shooter himself had been was under psychiatric care by a psychiatrist who himself was affiliated and part of the staff of Tavistock Institute of Human Relations. Now, the very mother of all mind control, propaganda, you know, factory in the world, the principal one, is the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations. It's in the city of London, in London, England. And this guy who had treated this man for something like 13 years, of course he programmed him. There's no question about it. It was the psychiatrist who programmed the man to on, put them under mind control programming, and then set them up to be one of these sleeper assassin shooters. Now, there's millions of them, not hundreds of thousands, but millions of people, most of them in the United States, but a fair share in the UK and in Germany and other parts of Europe, etc., who are programmed. They don't know they're programmed. They're under mind control. They're called sleepers. And when they want to have them perform, like a school shooting, they simply trigger them to go into a pre-programmed mode of operation, which they know how many people they're going to kill. This is all programmed into them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that in this little blurb I put up about the Binghamton shooters, that I had essentially one page article. I sent it to Jeff Rentz just the day, I think it was the very next day after the Virginia Tech shooting, which was, I forget now, three, four years ago. And I had said that this guy is undoubtedly a mind-controlled individual because he follows the same pattern as all these school shooters do. And the self, suicide at the end is typical of what these people do. The two guys who were involved, Klebold and, the two guys involved in the Columbine.
Dylan Klebold is one, and I forget who the other one is.
Yeah, it'll come to me in a minute. Okay, those two guys. They're mind controlled to the hill. They were heavily involved in, first, they both were on, psychiatric drugs. They were up to their eyeballs in satanic, involvement. I mean, they just grooved on, ideas of death, destruction. I mean, this was the thing.
Harris was the second.
Harris, thank you.
Yeah.
One of them, I forget which one, his father was a career Air Force military man. Now, for anyone who is new to this subject, the Air Force, particularly the Air Force and NASA, are heavily involved in mind control programming of people. Obviously, the Air Force often is mind controlling Air Force personnel. I mean, there's hundreds of stories of all kinds of and satanic and mind control activity goes on hundreds of Air Force bases. I mean, it's a big deal, and the people who write expose books about mind control often will report numerous Air Force bases that they were taken to for mind control programming. So all these cases are of programmed individuals to do this very job. So now we're having an imposter, an illegal alien, was fraudulently installed as president. I never call him President Obama.
He's either.
Imposter Obama. And his handlers are, the Rockefeller, Brzezinski, Kissinger, arm of the, American Illuminati, arm of the Illuminati. And naturally, all his staff, the people on the cabinet, are all dyed-in-the-wool Illuminati flunkies, minions, many of them from Clinton's time there. And then they put this guy, Rahm Emanuel, as the chief of staff. He's a citizen both of Israel and the United States. He's an arch-Zionist, and his job is to promote the gun control agenda, which Clinton chipped at during his time in office. But now the Illuminati is coming towards the end game. They want to complete the takeover and destruction of America. So gun control is very high in their agenda. So how do they get gun control? Well, the same way they did it In Australia, New Zealand, in England, you have these mind control individuals who shoot a lot of innocent people, you know, youngsters, whatever. The more innocent, the better. I mean, if they can arrange to slaughter a convent full of nuns, they're going to do it. Or, a preschool, you know, let's blow away 3, 4, and 5-year-old babies. They want to try to ramp up the horror to the maximum level possible. And then they saturate the media with these stories, pictures of, you know, blood on the street and grieving parents of the gravesite. This is exactly what they did at the Port Arthur massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And not a year or two or three later, no. 2 or 3 or 4 weeks later, there's legislation being rammed through the legislature that we're going to put an end to this insanity of guns. You know, we're just going to, this is, has to end. And we're going to, so this is the same procedure they've tried and proven technique to pulverize the citizens of the chosen area. Now it's America's turn to get bombarded with these things. Pulverize them and hit them with one slaughter event after another. We've had maybe it's 4 or 5 now since the beginning of April. There was a
a guy
of some Korean rehab place, and this guy does not die in the end. I just heard a brief report. I didn't even read. I've been off the computer for a couple of days trying to get this other work done. But I just heard over the radio that this Korean guy, who everyone liked, he was such a nice guy, he just started to blow people away. Someone hit him over the head with a barbell. Apparently, I don't know the details, but I'm assuming he got knocked out. That's why he's still alive. He didn't have the chance to kill himself, as all programmed sleepers do.
Mm-hmm.
But the other guys pretty much did. There was a story, some guy, family, I think, of 5, children, ex-wife. There was a young daughter who was apparently, but there was he just killed the family and then killed himself.
You know, it's funny, not to interrupt you, Eric Harris.
Yeah,
was born April 9th. That's today in certain parts of the country.
That is interesting.
And Dylan Klebold was born on September 11th.
Wow.
See the symbol?
Oh, September 11th. Oh, my God. Whoa, you're cooking there, right.
And they killed 13 people.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't remember that number.
And they injured 24 others. Now, that 24 numerologically is also a 6. So you have the programming. I mean, these guys were definitely programmed.
Yeah, definitely.
Harris's father was the
Air Force
transport pilot.
There you go. There you go.
So there's a connection there, and they show up in all the likely places where mind control is really big.
I get email from people who, you know, who've been to these places, and it's the same story. There's little variety in this story. It's you know, there's been so many people, and I do mean millions. I'm not exaggerating the numbers who have been program, so they have an unlimited supply of these sleepers that are programmed to do any number of things. At this point, they want to bring in, obviously the goal is banning guns, but they do it incrementally. So I heard Barbara Boxer is a senator from California, well-known Illuminati gopher, whatever the, particularly, you know, Democrats. So when Clinton is in office, Obama, the imposters in office, they tend to be more dominant in the news. But just heard her on the radio, I think 2 days ago, a brief, again, NPR, my favorite Illuminati propaganda dissemination outlet. If you want to know what the plans of the Illuminati are, the programming or what we're supposed to believe, just listen to NPR. I spend a lot of time listening to that station, and I hear the agenda very clear and loud. Well, anyway, she has proposed the bill yet again. She's proposed gun control legislation in the past, in which she was very anxious to say that this is not a ban on guns. No, we need to get control of these assault weapons.
Then go after the criminals, right?
Right.
Go after the criminals first.
It's always so they know from past experience, because they've tried it. You know, after Reagan was shot, the Brady Bill, there was a push then to ramp up gun control, and it comes in surges, and then the liberals, particularly the leftists, tend to flock behind gun control legislation. They seem to build up for a while, and then, as you know, Bush won, got in after, and during that period, when the Bush, arm of the Illuminati is in, gun control tends to slide backwards. And then when the Democrats get in, it tends to surge forward. So during the 8 years of Bush 2, we had some attempts at gun, but it wasn't much. And then there was a Supreme Court decision, which knocked down a lot of gun banning laws in cities like Washington and so forth. So there was actually a step forward in gun rights with Bush 2, with the Supreme Court decision, at least. But now that Obama's in, gun control is high on the agenda. So we now will see, and then we get these shootings, and just 2 days ago, after the fourth or the fifth shooting, I hear Barbara Boxer on NPR, well, she was doing a news conference, they just quoted a clip from the news conference about the need to put an end to these assault weapons. We're not trying to ban guns. No. For legitimate people, who have a right, yeah. They just want, this Rahm Emanuel, too, is fronting the notion that they want to register all ammunition. They'll want to limit the amount of ammunition one could obtain. They want to have universal gun and ammunition registration. So whoever, they want to set it up so that whoever does have a gun, if you don't report that you have the gun and where it's kept and take your training and so forth in gun safety and report how much ammunition and where you're keeping it, if they pass these gun control legislation, you will have committed a crime by just not reporting yourself as having, which of course is a clear violation of whole intent and purpose of the Second Amendment. And so you will see, they will go gung-ho, and we'll see many more of these killings. There's going to be just, one slaughter after the other until they ram through gun control. It's really going to take off now. It's clear it's going to take off. And I mentioned that when the Virginia Tech shooting happened, I posted something on my website. I sent it to Jeff Renz, who put it on his website. And what surprised me is that the first day it was posted, the first person to call into question the whole premise of the article, that this person was yet another program mind control victim, and kind of brought up this whole notion that this seems like a kind of a far out conspiracy theory, is Devi Kidd. Now, Devi Kidd should not really know who I am, as she's a person who's posts on Rents on a fairly regular basis, and my little one-page thing, it just didn't make sense to me. It didn't fit. I I'm not in her sphere of conversation. I'm sure she never remarked about anything that I've written or put up in the internet. Suddenly I'm of great interest to Debbie Kidd. That didn't make sense to me. If Debbie Kidd, because, you know, I'm once in a blue moon I'll get something up on Rents, and it's usually someone else's stuff. My stuff, you know, very rarely, some little, but like this thing, since it was so topical, the Virginia Tech shooting, I wanted to get something up right away, and I was glad Jeff ran it, because it's important to alert the public to the fact that these are programmed, mind control programmed individuals who are doing all these school shootings. I was contacted a couple of years ago by a Russian doctor who's currently living in Germany, but towards the end of the Soviet Union, you remember the Soviet Union dissolved in 90, 91, somewhere around there, you know, when the Berlin Wall came down and all that.
At least they said it did.
Yeah, they said it did. I think the Berlin Wall came down in 89 and, you know, took a year or two to reorganize, and they reunified Germany in 91. Well, anyway, it's about the same time the Soviet Union was coming apart. But anyway, this guy was in the Gulag system. He was a doctor. He was a medical doctor who apparently wasn't playing ball enough with the regime, and they put him in one of these gulags. I think he was in for 12 years, and the only reason he got out is because, you know, the Soviet Union broke up, and he was released after that. But anyway, in the camps he was in, he was telling me they were mind controlling people. Because of his training, you know, and so forth, they were using him, not necessarily a program, but he had like a more of a perfunctory role to keep tabs on, you know, who's doing what and how's the training going and so forth. And he went into great detail to me about how they will put information in newspaper that both tell operators who are fully aware of the mind control programming agenda. They will give them information where an event's going to take place, and you know, they telegraph this information. There's a code, he was saying. He says it's always published in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Now it could be, I don't know how they're triggering the individuals. You know, that can be done in a number of ways. It could be done through microwave transmission and directly into the person's subconscious mind. It
could be something as simple as a telephone call.
It could be, but I was about to say, you know, in earlier decades, they could trigger people by just, you know, having them answer the phone, then they'd hear a series of tones, and then they would drop into an alter personality, and then they could be told X, Y, and Z. But with the advent of the perfection, I should say, of the Montauk style electronic programming, they do it pretty much via microwave signal today, because they can literally download information directly into the subconscious mind of the program individually from wherever. They, you know, the signal can be coming out of you know, Long Island, New York, and the victim could be in Texas, and you know, with microwaves and with all these towers that act as relay stations, and they use a type of way to hide the signal. It's called signal hopping. Preston Nichols, I heard a very lengthy explanation on it 7 or 8 or 9 years ago on the radio, exactly how they do it. And they're using it for these mind-controlled programming signals. They're using multiple transmission points, and the signal is, in other words, the signal is fragmented, and it's jumping from one site to the other, so that there's no way anyone monitoring the signal can get, you know, the whole signal in one, from one source. It doesn't work that way. So they can mask its presence completely, so that it's hidden among other legitimate signals that are part of that, you know, microwave signal. So anyway, I was just really put off by this comment from her, because she just took two or three sentences essentially just to pour water on the whole thesis of what I was talking about there, and say, you know, and she said, what proof do we have of this? Well, I thought Devi Kidd is supposed to be a very informed individual. I thought this is a woman who sells herself as being a defender of the Constitution and all this wonderful stuff. Is the whole subject of mind control unknown to her? Is the subject of program shooters brand new to her? That sent off an alarm in my head. That sent off a big alarm in my head.
Are you sure that wasn't a microwave doing that?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a microwave.
Okay.
So when you talked about conspiracy theory, there are individuals who are part of the what we call the alternative news media research comment area, who aren't necessarily exactly who they wish to appear to be. And there are a number of people who, on many areas, I concur with what they're bringing out. Amy Goodman's a good example of that. She very good about exposing the illegitimacy of the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and many of legitimate subjects that need to be aired, which, of course, mainstream doesn't cover at all. But there's many areas which she does not broach, A, at all. In some areas, she just barely skates over and does it in a way that she implies, because of the manner in which she treats it, that there's no legitimacy to it. I'll give you, for instance.
Yeah, well, don't you see, or I'm wondering, she's doing that to keep the illusion of the separate political parties. In other words, they're attacking the Republicans by making those comments.
Right, exactly. Right.
Which implies that the Democrats are without stain. They're untainted.
Yes, exactly, right. So here's where, yes, right, she uses, as you said, easy to recognize, easy to illuminate areas such as the wrongness of the war, the mistreatment of, you know, people in these detainees, both domestically, you know, as well as the, you know, the guys that are bringing down the Guantanamo or Bagram, etc. All these, and, you know, the mistreatment of Islamic or Muslim people, who, particularly American citizens of Muslim descent, or, you know, there's so many stories people who have been abused, you know, by the government, taken into custody. That poor man that was sent to Syria and beaten so badly for a year or so and held in terrible conditions. Totally innocent individual. So all those stories need to be aired. You never hear a word about it on mainstream.
Yeah, well, they're not just taking these prisoners to, Abu Ghraib or Bagram or Guantanamo Bay. They're also flying them to certain locations in Asia, for instance, in Russia.
Yes.
And there are accounts of CIA planes taking these guys in there, and they're working them over in teams. Well, that is occurring is a direct marker that they're in league with the communists.
Right.
It supports many of the other things we've been saying here, that this illusion of the boogeyman. You know, first it was the communists, then they say, okay, Mr. Gorbachev, take down that wall, and then all of a sudden, communism is gone. It's disemboweled. No, that's a ruse.
Right, correct.
And if anything else, what they did is they turned the communists onto the socialists.
Yes.
You know, they spent, 50 years or so? Yes. Or not quite 50 years, a good, you know, 45 years or so, indoctrinating two generations of people in East Germany into the communist system, and then they mix that with the socialist Western Germany. You know, what do you expect is going to happen there? You know?
Yes, exactly. So getting back to the theme, though, I I want to emphasize that there are what we call gatekeepers who appear to be in the alternative world, but they're really controlled the voices of opposition. Now, in searching for talk radio, I switched over to AM, which, you know, during the Bush years, it was so utterly annoying to put on any AM radio talk show host because they were all Bush supporters. There was none. I couldn't find any. I tuned into virtually every AM station, talk station, on many occasions from one end of the AM dial to the other to hear anything that was even mildly critical of Bush, and it just didn't happen. Here in Southern California, all the main talk show hosts are just totally, you know, in bed with the Bush regime. And so with Obama, I went to AM radio to hear what I hear, and I get a little bit of a laugh. There's a guy on ABC radio, which here in California is on 790 AM.
That's Mark K-A-B-C. Levin. Yeah.
KABC. He's a national guy. I get a little bit of kick out of him because he can be a little humorous. I like he has a type of voice, and he has a sharp, he has a sharp tongue, and I kind of appreciate acerbic, you know, sharp tongue humor. So he's in that league. So it gives me a little respite from the nonsense you hear in KPFK. You know, left, you know, people on the left can be so just, they're just so unbelievably naive. It just bothers me to no end how naive they are about Obama, and then there's so many of them that are think this guy is a savior, and they just spout on absolute nonsense about him. So I can't take it. So I gotta switch over to AM. So I'm listening to this guy. Now he had a couple substances, so I spent a little more time on KABC than I normally would because I'm listening to this guy Mark Levin. It came very apparent after listening to him for a few days. He's definitely a Rush Limbaugh supporter, a Sean Hannity supporter, and you know I can't stand those guys because they're just totally trying to brainwash the public, and you know this outrage that took place during the Bush regime. So I hear a couple of people who are substituting for him. There was a guy who used to be the mayor of Dallas, Texas. A guy, I think his name is Michael Berry. Very articulate guy, sounds sharp, totally in bed, you know, in supporting and praising Bush. It was disgusting to hear what he had to say, and he would take callers, and there was a couple, most of them were flag wavers like he, you know, who totally towed the pro-Bush line, but there was a couple of people who, you know, wanted to take issue with him. And there was one guy who's a Native American guy who was very sharp, and Michael, he was, you know, he was on the same intellectual capacity as Michael Berry is, so he started to make Michael look bad. It didn't take long for Michael to just dump the call, you know. When he started to realize that the other guy was edging him ahead in his...
Scoring points.
Yeah, he was scoring points. He just got rid of him real fast. There was another guy he was an African guy, and he asked the guy, you know, where are you from? Well, I'm from wherever the country was in Africa. I forget. And but he was a very sincere guy. You could hear a slight accent in his voice, but he says, "I'm an American citizen, you know." He said, "I came here. I'm here legally, and I'm an American citizen." And so he was making very good points, but because you know he doesn't have the skill in English that Michael Berry has, and because he doesn't have the control of the dump button, and he could obviously pot up his volume and pot down the caller's volume and otherwise dominates situation. It really was, you know, just, let's say, it was, you know, pilloring the guy because he had the ability to do it. But the guy was trying to make very valid points about there was, you know, so many criminal aspects to the Bush conduct. But so this guy, Michael Berry, just danced all over him. And man, it just made me so mad because these guys never in a debate that is moderated by a third party in which they don't have the ability to control the amount of time the other person speaks, or more importantly, they can't dump their critic or debater, they wouldn't stand much of a chance. And then following this guy, I hadn't heard him in a long time because the last time I remember hearing the name Curtis Sliwa was somewhere in the late 70s or early 80s. I can't remember. He used to be on TV because he was started an organization, the Guardian Angels in New York City. That's I guess the initial purpose was to just to protect people from being intimidated by hoodlums, etc.
Then he ends up in Chicago.
I don't know that. I just remember from probably the first time I heard him was in the 70s because I remember seeing him on the David Susskind show and he'd wear this beret. And I mean, he sounded like an okay guy, and I admired what he was trying to do. But when I heard it, he apparently has the evening talk show on KABC. And maybe he's on for 3 hours, 6 to 9 or something like that, p.m. And so I was listening to him because I hadn't heard him in a long time. And oh my God, when I hear all this, first his own pitch is totally the kind of the sort of stuff you would hear from front men who were trying to sell Bush's stuff. You remember in the beginning of Bush's reign of terror there when he had head of Homeland Security. I can't remember his last name now. He eventually fell out, but oh boy, what the heck was his name?
Tom Ridge.
Thank you. Him, the guy who was the Attorney General,
Brent Scowcroft. That's somebody else.
Yeah, that's a general. Hold on. He was the Attorney General, the first Attorney General.
John Ashcroft.
Thank you. These guys used to be seen on television talk shows and radio talk shows, you know, just unremittingly. Richard Pearl is another one. These mouthpieces for these neocons, you know, really frontmen for Zionist interests too, but David Frum, you know, all these guys. And when I heard Curtis Sliwa, I'm hearing the same sort of kind of, what shall we call it, you know, conservative, that's what they say, but, you know, it's too much endorsement of the, you know, the fascist way of doing things. And then when he breaks, all his commercials are like from Homeland Security and the police and, oh, I'm telling you, this guy is just a mouthpiece for, you know, the police state, you know, to come. And it just really upset me. And I hear this guy going on and on. And then getting back to that Michael Berry, he was talking about our loss of freedoms and so forth and our liberty. As if Bush, too, did not make the greatest dents in the Constitution with his pals ramming through the Patriot Act right after the inside job of 9/11. Within a month of 9/11, they ran through the Patriot Act 1, and then a couple of years later, it's Patriot Act 2. Then the Military's Commission Act in October of 2006, and okaying torture, rendition, all this stuff under that criminal's watch. And this guy, Barry, is praising him like he was, you know, Lincoln himself. It's just amazing how this guy just goes on with his unending stream of lies about who Bush was and what he did. And that's all you hear. from people who today, who are with Obama, for instance, who are, you know, being quoted on radio and TV. Barney Frank and Chris Dodd is a good example. They were the two guys who were, we heard the most frequently in sound bites on TV back in September, October, November when they wanted to ram through the Wall Street bailout. They were saying, we, you know, we got to move on this fist because the whole, if we can't let this AIG go down, we can't let this collapse, we can't get Freddie Mac go down, the whole country is going to be, the whole country is going to collapse, we got to keep these credit markets and all this, you know. Got to get this done now. There's no... And then when the small group of Republicans in the House bucked it the first time around, oh, man, Barney Frank just came out of the wall after that. You know, we can't have this. This is too important to the health of the nation. This same guy now that everything has gone south, now that the taxpayers can see that they've been scammed out of their money, now that the bankers are getting the bailout, now that the automakers are getting the... The same guy is saying, where was the control? The very guy who was ramming it through now is acting as if someone else was responsible for ramming it through.
Yeah, there's conveniently no mention of the fact that they were threatened with martial law if they didn't pass that bailout.
Yes, you're absolutely right. That's right. That there was one House rep congressman who said that from the floor.
Yeah.
So this is what you see routinely. You see the guys like this guy, Larry Summers. I mean, good Lord, this is the guy who helped jack through breaking the Glass-Steagall Act, etc. And these are the guys now who talk as if they virtually are claiming opposite of what their actual track record is. They just, Hillary Clinton does this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She simply offers bold face, 180 degrees lies to whatever her previous statement position was on just a host of things. And for the most part, it seems.
Well, she's programmed herself too, so.
Yes, I got that. But the public generally has no memory of what these people say because they simply lie to such an egregious and constant extreme.
Mm-hmm.
You would think in a, I don't know, in a sane society, more people would say, hey, wait a minute. Didn't you sign that bill into, you know, you're talking as if you're the critic of it and you're the one who sponsored the bill. You know, I mean, it's that insane. And I hear this all the time. It just drives me crazy. Another example of it, you're just a two-faced phony. There's a guy who's on KPFK on Sunday afternoon. Anyone on the West Coast, I don't know whether the show's national, but you certainly hear it on the West Coast. His name is Ian Masters. He's been on KPFK for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And and I forget the name of the show, but it's about a three-hour show. I think he's from 11 a.m. Pacific time until about 2 p.m. on Sunday. And I've heard his show often. Sometimes I just can't stand it. I just got to turn it off. But I've heard it often. I can remember very well. After the invasion of Afghanistan and then Iraq, this guy, Ian Masters, his guest, his whole theme was totally supportive of, yeah, we're going to get those Al-Qaeda, you know, terrorists who caused 9/11. And he was rah, 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 the invasion all the way. And as the years rolled by, as long as, you know, the U.S. body count wasn't too, and we hadn't heard at this point, you know, how many civilians are being slaughtered, you know, he's all rah, 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 anti-terrorist, all his guests. He just totally towed the Illuminati party line and all the way. When things start not looking so rosy in the second Bush administration and it's becoming clear that, you know, the whole thing was a lie, which we in alternative, you know, reporting had said from the beginning, the whole thing's a concoction, it's a made-up deal.
Mm-hmm.
weapons of you name it. Then he starts going the other way. Now he's almost, you know, I listened to him, the guest, and I said, wait a minute. This guy was totally in bed with the administration. Now that the general public is, you know, less than thrilled about the Iraq war and et cetera, now this guy sounds like he's a anti-war guy. It just kills me.
Well, they do that. That's just part of the propaganda to make these people appear to be on the side of the people. Otherwise, they won't get anybody listening to them.
Right. So last Sunday, I happened to have KPFK, and I heard this guy, and boy, did I get angry. Because he, now he's the, you know, Mr. Anti-War himself, or, you know, whatever Bush did, oh God, it's terrible, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Ken, do you ever call into these shows and give them a piece of your mind?
Well, I have tried a few occasions, but what typically happens, though, is if you want to get on one of these shows, they tend to take the calls near the end of the show, but there's a queue. And I found out many times in the past that if you, let's say, you know, they say they're going to take callers, you call then, there's already 10, 15 people already queued up, and I've been told that many times. Well, you need to call earlier if you want to get on. So I've done it on a couple of occasions, but I just can't stand, you know, waiting on the phone an hour and a quarter. Got to keep it to my ear, and, you know, once in a while the screener comes back, and, you know, he says, well, I think that we're going to take it. Are you still there? You know, it's just too, you know, it just bugs me too much. I'm not going to stay on the phone for
more mic control.
just to get, you know, 30 seconds, you know, a 30-second jab before, you know, I get cut off. So I sort of given up on that. But I heard this guy Masters. He had a guy, a West Point a graduate. He was a ranger in the army and stationed in Afghanistan. And this guy was totally, you know, in bed with the Pentagon story. And here's this Ian Masters guy talking to him like, you know, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, he's a hero. Of course, if you're in the military, if you're one of these promo guys, then you're automatically a hero. If you're in the military or you wear a uniform, you're a hero, you know. It's just obscene how they attach the word hero to anybody who's so anyway, this Ian Masters talking to this guy for an hour, he's totally pressing the Pentagon line that now it's we're going to you know, we're going to control the Taliban there in Afghanistan.
Oh,
and
yeah,
now we're looking to, you know, we got to get control of Pakistan and Iran. And, you know, he's just laying down the plans, you know. They just, after they've, how much was it, $80 million a month during the Bush years, are going to Pakistan to a corrupt president and a corrupt military there after we're, you know, we have, you know, people, thousands of Americans dying on the street, homeless on the street of America. But we can send, you know, $80 million a month to Pakistan during the 8 years of the Bush regime just to have them play ball with us. Now, when it's convenient or necessary for the Middle East agenda, the Zionist agenda to go forward, now Pakistan is going to become, you know, the enemy, Al-Qaeda, you know, is so furtive. It just, you know, it just pops around from one country to the next. So we have to take care of them in Pakistan. So we're going to, the United States is going to eventually probably cause war in Pakistan, in India, and undoubtedly. And all the time they'll be carrying or trumpeting the same utter claptrap about democracy, freedom. I heard, listen, this guy Michael Berry go on and on and on about how you know, Bush did such a bang up job bringing democracy to Iraq, and now I hear the Obama imposter on the radio a couple of days ago when he stopped off in Baghdad say that we got to get the Iraqi people to, you know, carry the ball on their own, as if, oh, as if, you know, we rescued them, as if the United States rescued them from Saddam. We just murdered a million of their people, in, you know, just drove them into a desperate poverty situation, depleted uranium, generations of deformed children to come, and we got to get them to carry the ball on their own, the imposter says. I mean, it's just infuriating what I hear over regular AM talk radio.
Now, you do understand that all of this is just smoke and mirrors to hide the fact that they're in deep doo-doo over all the money they're stealing.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, quite right there.
You know, we've been talking about that.
Yes, it is the greatest. And you said, again, you know, your preamble to the show was, again, right on target, because it is the greatest act of thievery that ever took place in the history of man. That has just taken, you know, that we've experienced in the last, well, we're seeing, you know.
It's still going on. I mean, it's not
still
like
going on, but in the last couple of years, the mind-boggling size of this thievery is astonishing. And as you say, they need to run cover stories like the Madoff. It's a cover story. Madoff is just one of their chumps who they'll bully well taken care of. I mean, who being accused of
this guy,
of that level of thievery,
$50 billion, and he's staying in his house,
and he's staying in his mansion. I mean, and of course when he I guess he's copped a plea. What happens is that they'll sentence him to 7 or 8. He'll actually serve a year and a half or 2 years, and then, you know, he'll be pardoned. He'll be out. You know,
this is just
these
show.
Elite never pay a price of real prison time. If you remember after Nixon, I mean, even small fries like John Dean, first they're in country club, you know, prisons, you know, it's not prison at all. It's just, you know, they're treated very well. And they always get off, you know, short term. You know, it's a year or two or three. They're out. It's over with. And then they write the book. And then, you know, the money just... And those are the small people. The really big people never even get indicted. They just, you know, they decide on people who they're going to set up to take the fall. So they use a guy like Madoff to, you know, to act as the cover story when you know... Just like, as you pointed out on other shows we've talked about, those billions of missing dollars in Iraq when Rumsfeld was at the helm. No accountability. The story goes nowhere. We just hear it a few days in the news. It's gone, and it's never brought up again. Billions and billions of missing dollars, and there's no
investigation. Trillions.
Right.
Trillions, and when they went to Baghdad, they stole $100 trillion from the central bank there.
Right, right. And they steal all these antiquities from they oversee an operation to actually rob their museum right before their eyes. I mean, it's just incredible. And yeah, they use this cover story of first a guy like Madoff, the so-called bailouts, the get people going nuts about the, you know, multi-million dollar bonuses paid out, keep you, and then it's just like there's this fury, people sort of expend their rage, and then it's forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
It's forgotten about. And they just, you know, are literally stealing the ground under our feet, as you pointed out. There's so much real estate thievery taking place in you know, in conjunction with the outright theft of taxpayers' money.
Yeah, and then they assign the debt from what they've stolen to the taxpayers on top of it. I mean, it's absurd what's going on. This is just an illusion, as I've been saying over the past week.
Yeah.
It's an illusion, and people have got to wake up at some point. Because it's gonna take them down with it. You know, it's one thing to pretend that this is not going on, but when you all of a sudden are hit with the brunt of the circumstances created by it, then it's going to be too late for you to do anything about it. You're going to go down with it. You're not prepared.
I have to, that's clear. And we can only hope that enough people do realize that the most important issues are not being addressed at all in mainstream. And the ones that are addressed in well-distributed alternatives, such as Pacifica, Amy Goodman-type shows, it's okay what they're doing, but they're keeping from the public much more important stories, one being this thievery that we're talking about. Other things, though, again, a person like Amy Goodman, everyone who's in alternative media has a large audience, should begin every program with kind of a chemtrail, report of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Who's being poisoned? The entire, we'll limit the conversation to the United States or North America, but of course chemtrails are going around the world. But let's just, for the sake of our discussion, limit it to North America. This should be at the top of every single alternative, news report, chemtrail report. They're poisoning us daily, and they've been doing it daily since, the winter of 97-98. We're having this militarization and ongoing brutalization of police and military personnel. It's been taking place gradually, but it's getting intense now. The police of today are, too often sort of psychopathic type individuals.
Mm-hmm.
They're brutal as you can possibly get. And they go where are they getting? They're getting this training from police academies. I just heard.
Or Blackwater. Some of them are even being trained by Blackwater.
A very large percentage are coming from the military into police force.
Yeah.
That's where they're recruiting. They want the guys in the military today, particularly SWAT types guys, they're being trained and they are being mind controlled. Special ops people are always victims of mind control. To be this, kind of ultimate killer. And when and police academies today, they're just training these guys to be totally vicious. I heard on KPFK, I happened to be up during the night a few nights ago, like 3 or 4 in the morning. And that's where you hear the best stuff on KPFK. There's a guy named Roy Tuckman who has a show from midnight until 5:30 in the morning called Something's Happening. And you tend to hear the best that KPFK got to offer on that show, because that information resonates much more true than the kind of the half-baked stuff you get during the morning and afternoon on KPFK. So there was a caller in who says he's been a security guard for many years, and he says he knows the subject happened to be abuse of cops, that the part of the program was talking about that. And he was saying, he says he's worked with a lot of guys who've gone through police academies, and he says I knew a lot of them before they went into academy, and I worked with them as a guard afterwards, and they've simply changed like night and day. They become totally abusive towards people, whereby before they were, let's say, normal. They were, kind of give and take and didn't necessarily, just didn't want to let a crime situation take place, but at the same time didn't go out of their way to harass, hurt, bash, and otherwise, but he says it's amazing. He says, I would never go to a police academy. And this jives with what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, and particularly the growth in the use of taser guns, which you would sort of came online around 2004 or 2005, you know, how many, I don't know where the body count is now. The last time I checked, I was monitoring, it was well over 400 by midsummer of last year. The number was, well, it's easily over, must be over 500 by this point, because it's been growing exponentially, the number of people who have died as a result of being tasered. And in the vast bulk of tasering incidents, and I do mean the vast bulk, 95-98%, the incident or the justification for using the tasers, it just isn't there. You have people who are, you know, not jumping quick enough to satisfy the cop. They just take out the taser gun, and they're applying the energy too long to a person who's clearly, you know, not strong. It's one thing to taser, you know, a 280-pound, you know, 22-year-old football player. It's another thing to do the same thing to a, you know, a 65-year-old frail man or woman, you know? There's no discrimination about who gets tasered, and so many people are being killed. And mm-hmm. the ones who aren't killed, when they talk about the event, they say, I never want to go through that again. It's so incredibly painful to have 50,000 volts applied to you. Mm-hmm. And so you find first the militarization of police, which has been going on too since, you know, sort of took off with the Clinton era and really grew during the Bush years. But there's the brutalization of cops, and there's the psychic brutalization of the public through these cop shows, like the show they call Cops. They want to acclimate the public to this behavior so that the public accepts it. Clearly, anyone who still has a brain can routinely see the misbehavior of police. This is what they're filming and showing on TV. Can you imagine what they don't broadcast?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're going to show this stuff, I can only imagine what they don't show or what got left on the cutting room floor, you know, because it's pretty bad.
Think of Rodney King's case, you know, had that video not been taken.
Oh, of course. Right. Exactly. But you see, they just walk all over these people's constitutional rights with these cop show encounters. Mm-hmm. You know, they come up, and this whole deal of using a battering ram to enter a person's house, these guys, you know, who knows, 20, 30 of them swarm the house. He's got their flak suits. They got this battering ram. They rush up to the porch, and they say, police, open up! Boom! They just bash the door, you know. Or they say, police, Warren, open up! And you know, this is not due process, Don. This is a violation of the Constitution. They do it all the time. They show it to us on TV all the time. Why? Because they want to inculcate the idea that this is normal, this is acceptable, and if you were to ask many people, particularly younger people, did the cops do anything illegal there, or anything against the Constitution? Well, I don't know. Well, you know, they wouldn't recognize the fact that they're walking all over the Constitution. And this is bad. This brainwashing of America is just incessant.
And it's the same with these cop shows or these forensic investigative shows, where they end up in court, and they show you things that do not occur in a court of law anywhere
yes.
in the country.
Thank
you know,
you.
It's
Thank
a
you.
Total fiction.
Yes,
what they're showing.
You're right. You're
you know,
right.
Perry Mason, it was more like what it was
more
like
a real law of court. Yes,
or Andy of Mayberry, for that matter. That
yeah.
was more realistic at one time.
Right. You're absolutely right. I can remember when the whole notion, perhaps it was the 80s. I can't quite place the date, but they started to toy with history. They call it docudramas. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
When they started toying with that, I decided they were going to like have the trial of Lee Harvey Oswald. You know, they were going to pretend he wasn't shot, and go through the motion. And in fact, I guess there was a TV series or movie by that name. I didn't watch it.
Well, they did this on the PBS channels mostly. Is it Arthur Miller, law professor, and then they'd have...
Remember him, yes. He used to host those talk things, right.
And they'd have a whole panel of judges, right. and attorneys and even some congressmen or senators.
Yes, they would all pipe up and write. And, of course, at the time, you know, I was buying it. I thought it was legit, and I was, this is very astute, intellectual, that's interesting, blah, blah. I didn't realize I was being brainwashed.
Yeah.
And it was only till, you know, later, I realized the New World Order game, in which I saw something similar with a different host, but same sort of thing, you know, round table. I said, oh my God, they're trying to sell the Tavistock party line using that format. And they do it in multiple ways. I've said it before, but I want to remind people, the way you get brainwashed in the school system is that they shape the test questions and answers to match the party line they want you to believe. So if it's in science, they want you to buy into the Einstein mechanical vision of the universe model. So the physics course and the test questions and answers are all based on what they wish you to assume as a belief structure.
Yeah.
They do the same thing with history, both ancient, and recent history. You are really being brainwashed today, for the last few decades, to be sure. I mean, I'm glad, I went through the school system, in the 50s, in early 60s, in which I had more of a chance to, they still had something mm-hmm. called civics in school.
Yeah.
And there was, but my God, the absolute bunkum they're putting in children's history books today is amazing.
Yeah, well, even when I was in, I think I was in the ninth grade in English class. There's a portion of the class devoted to English literature. And so what do we study? What do they choose as a mandatory read in that class? Milton's Paradise Lost,
yes.
Which is the story of the fall of Lucifer.
Yes.
And his transition through the personality of Beelzebub down here to Lucifer. Now, did they teach us anything about God or anything about any of the prophets that were sent here to the earth? No. They focused on Satan.
Right.
It's amazing. And I'm not saying that held any power, but obviously there's a very subtle indoctrination into satanic worship and satanic ritual through a poem about the antithesis of the Creator. Come on. What? And they call that an education?
Yeah.
I mentioned that on a show this past week, briefly, that was one particular piece of work that always... And then, you had the Scarlet Letter. I mean, they're teaching you about prostitution or adultery, mm-hmm. and it was the same in French class. You studied Emile Zola,
yes,
who is an excellent writer, but the topics of his writing in French bordered on the writings of Henry Miller.
Mm.
where they're talking about prostitutes and drinking and drugs and all in the French Quarter.
Right.
It all occurred over there. Why this obsession with this type of literature? And you want to talk about what poisons a mind? They're teaching this in the school. For what purpose?
Yes, particularly today. It's important to tell people or remind people that you have to trust ultimately your own inner voice or your own inner feelings about what is right or wrong.
Yeah.
Because we all are connected to a higher source of information that's called a higher self. And but usually, if we, particularly if you're young, it's normal to, you know, to look to teachers and to look to mentors and professors and people who seem to be, you know, more educated than you for answers. That's normal and it's okay, but you have to realize that we're living in a world in which the dissemination of false information is or misleading or deceitful information is what the game is all about now. We are in, sure, it's the information age, it's the disinformation age. And the need to be, you know, self-reliant in the sense that don't allow yourself to be convinced of something because an authority-like figure tries to convince you either with very clever words, you know, he seems to be very educated, astute-sounding individual, or he sounds very confident in his words. If it's what he's saying, if it's running counter to the feeling you have about it, distrust that person, distrust that line of commentary, trust your own inner feeling. I heard, again, it was a brief buzzing through the AM dial, try to find some talk. Pat Robertson, there's a station here that carries a Christian talk radio, 740 AM, it's called K-Bright. I listen to it on and off because sometimes there are some good people on there. Dr. Stanley Monteith has a regular show that's broadcast over KPRT. And that guy is, you know, I very much admire him. He's very, very much attuned to the New World Order takeover game, and he doesn't try to, you know, hoodwink people as so many evangelical types do. Anyway, I heard Pat Robertson said that God told him that there's going to be a bit of a, you know, upswing in the stock market. But he said, don't think that's going to last. We're not coming out of it. There's going to be a little bit of an upswing, and then it's going to go down real bad. So don't put your money there because. And every time I hear that, yeah, son of a gun, he or anyone else, you know, Benny Hinn does this all the time too. There's people on the internet. We have websites who routinely claim that God told me, you know, please, 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 don't be so naive. Anyone who claims God is talking to them directly and is otherwise engaged in the world, raising money, trying to get you to join their power group, contribute to them, to invest with them, it's whatever the case is, he's not talking to God. In most cases, they're talking to a CIA satellite if they're talking to anybody.
or a banker.
Yeah, because you got to have, you know, your reason. Just why we're talking this. Of course, people, you know, down through the ages have been able to communicate with higher spiritual powers, direct communication, angels, with Jesus, with God, with the voice of God, etc. There's no question about that. But those who have had these true experiences are never, ever, ever, nor have, you know, in the past, have they ever been people who tried to promote or sell themselves on any level. They're always individuals who led totally, austere lives, free of any involvement with the world. This is, your saints of yore who are revered, the Little Flower, Sister Teresa, famous saints, always led a life that is devoted exclusively to the pursuit of, you know, a spiritual world. And they've never, ever, ever are in the business of, you know, trying to head up a cult or a group in which you're trying to amass fortune, power, etc. It just doesn't work that way, and common sense should tell the rational person that anyone who tries to sell you on the notion that they're hearing from, I mean, they all do it. Every single self-proclaimed pastor on TBN routinely claims, God told me, God's telling me, you know, it's just amazing. No exception. Because I, you know, I've listened to them all, and it's amazing how the effrontery they have to present themselves as a direct auditor of the Word of God. It just amazes me. And who, I ask myself, how can anyone sit there and listen to this and not become upset with the idea that this man is saying these things? People have to depend on their inner sense of knowing, because we're all connected, and you got to trust your feelings. Your feelings are the key to truth. When I was much younger, I forget, probably early 20s, I was involved in a minor auto accident. It was not my fault. The other person went through a red light, didn't even know they were going. It was a young 16-year-old girl, just had her license for a few months, went through a red light and broadsided me. The lawyer who I had used, long story short, they sued me. I thought they would just pay for my car and that would be it, but they sued me. They claimed that I went through the red light and I caused the accident. The lawyer who I got to represent me was the same guy who had represented me in closing of a house. He's the only lawyer I knew. I had no occasion to need lawyers except for that, so I called him up. He represented me. Long story short, as it turns out, he knew this family. It was this person who, the daughter which hit me, who came from a rather wealthy family of a dentist. And this guy not only knew him, but was, had represented him on many occasions. Now, he didn't tell me that. Had he told me that, which is really required, I would have found another lawyer to run, but he didn't tell me that until just a couple hours before we were walked into the hearing. It should have been a trial, but I didn't know. You know, I was just totally, you know.
Did you bring that information forward to the court, or?
Not at the time, Dad. I didn't know. You know, I was just, I was quite young at the time. I didn't know the guy was railroading me at the time.
Yeah.
Just, but the reason I'm telling you the anecdote, he totally sold me out, because he was a great buddy. He was a country club pal of the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I lost. I was shocked. I told myself, oh, holy cow, I get broadsided and I got to pay for this, you know, person. So anyway, I had a feeling, though, when the guy was talking to me, when I went to see him in his office, we're talking about the case, I'm presenting it to him, I had this feeling that came over to me. Now, of course, I didn't even know, you know, what a psychic impression was. I don't think I even knew the word intuition, what it meant at the time. It just wasn't part of my vocabulary, you know. I just had gotten out of the military, you know, as a young guy. Anyway, I told my mother, I remember telling my mother, you know, I said, you know, I'm talking to this lawyer, but I have the feeling that this guy is going to lose the case for me. I just have the feeling he's going to lose for me. And she says, well, did you, I said, I've already paid him, you know, whatever. It was a lot of money at the time, you know, I paid him $300 or $400 or $500. I mean, that's a huge amount of money for me. You know, we're a poor, poor family. But I told my mother, I says, I just had this feeling, you know, it was just so strong in me. This guy is going to lose the case for you. And it nagged me when I went to see him subsequently, you know, we're supposedly going to prepare for this thing. It was in the back of my mind as I'm talking, but I didn't have the inner wherewithal to realize that, you know, I was getting a signal from my higher self. So I'm telling the story so that if whoever hears this conversation between us, needs to remember this. If I had trusted my feeling at the time, and what I could naturally, I let my head override my feeling. You know, I already paid him the money, so you know it would have been tough to try to get out of it. But if I knew then what I know now, I would have, you know, definitely gotten out of it, because I know better now. So do trust your feelings. It's your connection to your higher self. So when you're hearing something, or when you're being coerced, someone's trying to convince you of something, if your feeling just isn't right, trust it, because okay. That is the truth.
I'm going to honor what you said. I'm feeling that we're out of time. Seth hasn't said
anything
yet.
So you're going with the feeling.
I'm going to go with the feeling before he tells me that we've got to wrap it up. We do have to wrap it up.
Yeah, we've run over, yeah.
But you're going to be on the show again next week, I believe, on the 15th, yep. Next Wednesday. Yep. So I misspoke a couple of nights ago and announced that you were going to be on yesterday, and it raised a red flag for last night's guest, Joe Church. I had to straighten that out, so I'm cleaning up that business. I aired. I didn't have my calendar open. I do now. And so you'll be on next Wednesday, the 15th, and actually you're on three more times this month. So looking forward to where we go.
Yeah, I do enjoy these chats. I hope the audience gets something out of them.
Well, we went all over the place.
Yes, I know. Maybe I'll be more focused on a theme. Next time, but
no,
I was riled by these AM talk show hosts. I had to say something about it.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should listen to more on BBS.
Yeah.
We'll listen to less.
Yep.
I appreciate your time, and I want to wish you, weekend's rapidly approaching. Wish you a great weekend. And look forward to reading some more of your writing. As a wrap-up, I've announced to my audience yesterday evening at the close of last night's show that I have finally gotten down, now that certain family issues are behind me.
Yeah.
I'm working on another Obama piece, part 6 of The Three Stooges.
Oh.
And this one is entitled The Pictures Speak a Thousand Lies. It's an analysis. It's a very in-depth analysis of the photos that were distributed by the mainstream media for public consumption. And it's going to wake some people up. But then I've got another one on the heels of that, and that's The Identity, the real, at least one of the parents of Barack Obama. I've narrowed it down to someone that actually makes a whole lot of sense.
Whoa.
So that's going to be rather revealing. So if you're listening out there, Barry, get ready.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say goodnight to you, Ken, and goodnight to our listening audience. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And tonight's guest, Ken Adachi. Do yourself a favor, educate yourself. Go to Ken's website, educate-yourself.org, and read up on a lot of interesting topics. Certainly some of those that we discussed tonight are covered on his website. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow evening when our special guest will be Mr. Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.